seems weird to preach on an elevated place because we're used to preaching down there, but hopefully, it'll carry and everyone can see me safely at the back. So for those of you who I haven't met before or haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself to, my name is Sean Searle. I'm an elder in the life of Joshua Generation Church and the elder responsible for this specific congregation in terms of the day-to-day leadership together with my wife Chantel and our family, and we are faithfully served together with Rian and with Esther Achenbach as elders that are entrusted with this specific body of church. And I want to start this morning with repentance from my side. And it's a public repentance for a heart condition that as I was preparing for this preach, I suddenly realized how grieved I was and how I believe the grieved the Holy Spirit was. Because some of the stories that I'm going to share with you now are probably 6 or 7 years old. And I felt the Lord say, I have new testimonies for you. I have new things for you to do. But you haven't been listening. You haven't allowed my Spirit to guide you into all that I have for you. You see, when we become busy with the work of God, we can sometimes lose the person of God. So I want to say to you, I apologize. I repent because there's things that you have missed out on as a congregation due to the fact that I haven't followed in obedience the shepherd's voice. So I repent and I ask for your forgiveness this morning. And that as we receive forgiveness, that actually we can start to move into the things that God has got for us in his fullness. So this morning, I want to ask you a simple question. If I had to offer you two options, so Rian's a car man, he likes cars, he likes to buy them, and he'll fix them, and he'll sell them, and make profit. So if you were driving a single cab, I don't know, I'm going to go Mazda, because I don't want to get into the Ford or the Toyota debate. So we'll go, if I gave you a single cab, Bucky, it was quite heavy on petrol, you know, standard tire, standard everything. And I said to you, actually, Rian, what I've got for you is I've got something that's better. So I'm going to give you a double cab. It's got thick tachies on. I've done something to the engine. It's going to run more efficiently. Would you say no to that? No. It'd be crazy to say no to that, right? It'd be absolutely ludicrous. And it was interesting that actually as you go through the Bible, you see that, and please hear me, I'm not in any way comparing Jesus to a single cab bucky, but I just want to say that. But it's the illustration because God uses simple things for me, and I want to give you a simple illustration where God actually says to us as a people, he says, I have something better for you even than me. Can you imagine? What could possibly be better than Jesus? The Jesus that saves, heals, delivers, sets free. In fact, as I was reading from that song that Narina was singing in Revelation 1, it says, I am the one who holds the keys to death and Hades. To death and hell. There's no more powerful thing in our lives than death. And Jesus has the keys. He owns death. He went and fetched those. And in John 16, verse 7, we'll read exactly what I'm telling you. You see, Jesus is about to ascend. He's about to leave. His work has been completed. He's done everything and he's fulfilled. Every promise, he's fulfilled every prophecy. Everything that he's needed to achieve in his life is now done. And he's going to be with his Father. And he says to the disciples, who I'm sure are going, please, no, don't go. We've just got you back. We've seen you brutally murdered. We've mourned you. We've felt the pain of your death. Please don't go. Stay with us. And he says to them, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Wow. Wow, would we not willingly want to accept that which Jesus says is better for us than them, than him himself? And the word that's used for, in that case, which is used for, unless I go, the counselor, it's called the paraclete. It's the advocate, the comforter, the encourager. That is what God promises what Jesus promised to us as an inheritance. And we spoke a lot about inheritance yesterday, last week, and it was incredible. And I don't know, maybe for some of you, you've never thought I have an inheritance. Maybe you just thought, oh, well, I'm just here, I'm saved now, and you know, I've got out of jail, I'm not going to go to hell. But there is an inheritance, there is a plan for you. But I want to say to you that outside of the power of the Holy Spirit, you will never be what God has called you to be. It's impossible. We as men and as women, we are mortal, we are fallible, we have sickness, we have disease, we have depression, we have mental illnesses, we have all these things that slow us down from the purposes of God. But God says, I'm going to send you some who is going to be your advocate, your counselor, your comforter, and your encourager. And I know for some of us that have grown up, maybe you've grown up in a more religious sort of a context, it's the works of the Holy Spirit have seemed quite weird. And I'm sure we've all seen weird expressions of the Holy Spirit, people flopping around like fishes and, you know, doing all these funny things. And I want to say to you that the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. It's not just for the weird and wonderful people that are speaking in tongues on a Sunday and dancing on the stage and doing all those things. Each and every one of us has been given the promise of the Holy Spirit. The only thing we need to do is to accept it. This morning in the prayer meeting, there was a picture of God sticking his hand out to each of us. And only through grabbing his hand can he pull us up. So we can choose to accept or we can choose to reject. And you will eat the fruit of your discussion, of your decision. So I just want to ground this in the word. In Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14, we read, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. So that's talking about salvation. That's talking about you've received the word of God. You've heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. What is that seal? The promised Holy Spirit. Who is a deposit guaranteeing, there's that word again, inheritance, until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. You see, there's something that the Lord wants to do. He wants to, in a sense, brand us. We were recently in Namibia, and there's the sheep there and the lambs there are not necessarily branded. They're not burnt, but there's a little colored thing that goes in their ear. And that helps to identify who these people are or who these sheep are. Who do they belong to? So if this sheep wanders onto another field and he's wearing yellow and the whole field is green, you know you can take it back. And then there's details of whoever the farmer is. And for us that are in Christ, for us that have received salvation, the free gift of salvation that comes only through belief in Christ and faith in Christ, actually from there, there's a promised branding for us, something that will set you and me apart. That when we walk into the room, the atmosphere changes. When we walk into the room, the demonic starts to shudder. Why? Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Amen. We are marked with this. They say that it's a sign of our salvation. It's a sign of who we are. We belong to somebody. And God wants to give that deposit. And I'm really hoping that for each of us this morning, when we walk out of this place, that you will have encountered the Holy Spirit for yourself. Maybe for the first time, or maybe for the second time, or maybe it's been a long time. And the Lord wants to meet with us. I believe it. I have faith for it. And I'm going to trust God's going to do something through this. It's not through my power. It's not through my preaching. It's not through anything that I and me possess. It's only a work of the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to share quickly with you my first power encounter with the Holy Spirit. It was a very powerful moment that changed my life forever. And it happened on the 7th floor of a parking lot at 33 Bree Street in the Cape Town CBD. You see, I contracted to a company and I worked on their premises. And one morning I'd been driving around the 7 floors to get up to it. And I felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me in my heart. And he said, what if it's all true? And I was like, what if what's true? He said, what if everything you've read in the Bible, every miracle, every resurrection from the dead, everything that Jesus did, what if it's actually true and you believed it? You see, because we can hear it, but we don't necessarily believe it. Someone fell dead now, right here. How many of us would have faith to go lay hands on that person and ask God to resurrect them from the dead? It's in the Bible. We have access to it. But many of us don't know if we really believe that. So I said, okay, well, if it's true, then I want a piece. I want to see it for me. I want to see healings, deliverance. I want to see all the things that Jesus did. I want to see it. And the Lord said, okay, fine, I'll ask you two questions. And I will ask you these questions as well. Will you be obedient? And will you be available? If you'll do those two things, I guarantee you in the Lord, Lord will use you. But it's going to cost you something. And I'm about to tell you about that cost. So for me, I'm sitting there and I go, yes, Lord, I'll be obedient. I'll be available to you. This is fantastic. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to walk across the road. There's one of the directors in the company who's torn all of the ligaments, has gone through an excruciating surgery to reattach the tendons and the muscles and all the things that are happening in his right shoulder. I want you to go over, lay hands on him. I'm going to heal him this morning. And I was like, what? Hold on. I didn't know that you wanted me to be available right now. I thought this is like in a month or so, things are going to, and it's now. So I thought, okay, you know what? I'll checkmate God. Never do that. He's a master chess player. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what. If I get into the office and it's only Lyle that's there, this is now 7:15, 7:30 on a Friday morning. There's always people in the office. If it's just him, I'll pray for him. And I walked across, got in, went up to the 16th floor. And as I came out of the elevator and I stuck my head around the corner like that, I could see, but ooh, hold on. There's no lights on in this building. By now, it's pumping. The coffee machine is going. I worked on the sales floor. There was lots of noise. Things were happening. There's nothing. I did my little fingerprint. The door opened, and I walked onto the sales floor, and there was one light on. And it was Lyle's office in the corner by himself. And the Lord said, let's go. So I walked into his office, and I knocked on the door. Now, remember, this is not the company I work for. I don't know this man's background. I don't know what his belief system is. I don't know whether he's going to chase me out and I'm going to lose my job. I had no, I want to say to you, I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. I have no idea of where this thing is going. I don't know. In hindsight, I can tell you where it went, but I had no idea where this was going to go. But I knew I'd heard the Holy Spirit speak to me that morning. I knew it was him. And something in me said, you have to do this. So I knocked on his door and I said, hey, Lyle, how's it, man? He said, hey, Shauna, how's it? I said, look, can I have a moment of your time, please? And he said, yeah, I'll come in. And I came in and I said to him, Lyle, I said, this is going to sound really weird, but I'm a Christian. And I felt like God said, I need to pray for your shoulder. He's going to heal you. So he's like, okay, cool. And he thinks I'm going to leave and go and pray. I said, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm going to pray for you right now in your office. And I don't think it could have been the same as me telling him I'm bringing a Martian into the room. He just looks at me, he's like, what? Like, I don't have a grid for what you're about to tell me. So I said, no, I really feel. So he said, oh, okay. You know, it was a little bit of an awkward moment. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit's going to use you, it's going to feel super awkward. Push past that. And I went and I stood there and he just said to me, he said, listen, please just be very careful. My shoulder is excruciating pain. I'm on sleeping tablets. I'm on pain tablets because I can't sleep. Every time I move, it wakes me up. Please be very, very careful. I said to him, I promise you I won't. And I put my hand gently on his shoulder. And it wasn't a very powerful prayer. It wasn't anointed. I didn't feel angels. I didn't see a light come down from heaven. There was nothing. There was crickets. It was quiet and it was me and it was him and it was the living God. And as I laid hands on him, I felt this warmth transfer through my hand into his shoulder. And in an instant, I knew he was healed. I knew he was healed. And he looked at me and he went, did you feel that? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I did. And he said, what now? So I said, I think God's healed you. So he's like, how will I know? So I said, I think we have to test it. And now he's like, whoa, hold on. Now you're asking me to go to a place I'm not willing to go because this man is in excruciating pain. He's been through surgery. I said, the only way we'll know is if you move it. So it started out kind of like this. Yes, I moved. And then he did this. And as I was watching him. I wasn't watching his arm. And I could see suddenly there was this revelation in his eyes that, hold on, I can't find this pain. It's not here. And he started to move it. Finally, we took off the sling that he had, and he was moving his arm. Literally, I have no reason to lie to you. This is the God's honest truth. He started swinging his arm like this. I watched him throughout the rest of the day. He was standing against the wall, hyper-extending his arm, which is physically impossible for him to do because he had stuff reattached. He was squeezing his arm. I watched him phone. From my office, I could see straight into his. I watched him phone his wife in tears, saying, this guy prayed for me, and I got healed. And in that moment, suddenly, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, became real. Not something that a pastor in front had told me. Not something that I read about in the Bible. Not something that I'd seen these weird guys on TV. But real. A personal Holy Spirit who started to walk with me throughout my days. And let me tell you, that just became the first of many, many miracles that God started to do. In fact, people would, I'll tell you another quick story. Is that all right? Are we okay? Another quick story. So I'm in the office, I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm working away, and I worked in a Salesforce. So if any of you who've worked on Salesforce, you know, it's noisy, guys are joking, there's always guys pranking each other, putting salt in the coffees instead of sugars. It's lots of laugh, there's lots of excitement, it's a wonderful place to work. And there's noise going on in the front. And I'm like, I'm just carrying on about work, and this one guy comes running, and he was in another church in Century City. And we'd had some chats about the Lord, and he knew who I was, and he'd heard about this thing that happened with Lyle. And he comes running to me, and he says, Sean, one of the ladies is having an epileptic fit. You must come pray for her. I said, why must I pray for her? You're a Christian, you pray for her. He's like, no, I'm not a Christian like you are. And I was like, okay, there's doctrinally, that's just wrong on so many levels. There is only one kind. He's like, please come. And I'm like, oh, I really don't want to. And before I could find myself, I was up and I was moving. And I came and I saw her, and she was still busy going for it. And I went down on one knee, and I put my hand on her leg. And I didn't say, I didn't pray. I didn't do anything. I just said, Jesus. And as I said the name Jesus, she screamed. Rah! And the whole office went quiet. Now, there must have been 30 people gathered around. There's people on cell phones phoning the ambulance to come and see her. Everyone just went quiet and looked at me. And all I was doing was looking at her. And all she was doing is looking past me at something or someone. But it wasn't me. And I said to her, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. And she got up and she wasn't shaky. She wasn't like, she was fine. And people in the office started looking at me like, whoa, what's going on here? And it was super, super uncomfortable. So I thought, well, the best thing I can do is go and make coffee. So I rushed to the kitchen, and I put my coffee cup under the machine, and this one lady came to me, and I could see that she was shaking. She was like, there was something, and she said, are you some sort of like healing guru, dude? And I said, no, I'm no healing guru, dude. She said, well, I saw what I saw. What happened there? I said, well, to be totally honest with you, I don't 100% know. I said, but I'm a Christian, I'm born again. And the Bible says that if I ask, the Holy Spirit will come and give me power. So I just asked Jesus to heal her, or I just said Jesus, actually, and Jesus did something. So she says, can I make an appointment with you for tomorrow? I want to know. And she literally did. She sent me a calendar invite. She booked out not only my time, but she booked out a boardroom. And we went and sat in the boardroom, and she said, okay, tell me about this thing. I need to know. And as I was sitting with her, kind of was going, sure, Lord, I don't know where to start here. Like, how do I explain to someone who's an unbeliever what has just happened? And I thought the Lord said, don't show her. Don't tell her. Show her. Okay. Now, this is all happening while I'm trying to have a conversation. I felt the Lord say, she's got back pain, chronic back pain. Ask her. Her name was Donnelly. I said, Donnelly, do you have a problem with your back? And she said, yo, hectic, eh? I said, what's the problem? She's like, no, for years and years and years now, I've had this chronic back pain. She says, I've been for Reiki healing. I've had crystals put on it. I've gone for acupuncture. I've been to a bunch of different chiropractors, you know. I've been on a series of pills, and she shows me her pills. I've been on these pills for years. Nothing is helping my back. And I said to her, in a moment, I felt the Lord just whisper. So when I'm saying to you, maybe you don't have a grid for what I'm saying, but I'm talking, when I say the Lord said to me, it's like an impression, it's like a thought. And the only way to start to understand, is it really God's voice, is to actually do what he tells you to do. Otherwise, it's always just going to, well, maybe. And I felt the Lord whisper to my heart, saying, her one leg is shorter than the other leg. So I said to Donnelly, have you ever checked your legs out? And she's like, not really. I said, I'll tell you what, come sit. So for you who are going to do these things, because this is amongst us, there are those that are going to do these things, because Christ said, all the things I've done, you're going to do and more. And he's talking about us as a body of believers. So when you want to grow somebody's leg out, this is what you do. You get a chair, you make them sit down, you have them push their bum as close to the back of the chair as they possibly can, and then you have them put their legs out straight in front of you. You take your thumb and you put it on their ankle bone. And if the two ankle bones are not aligned, your thumbs won't be aligned. I know it's very mysterious and extremely surgical, but it's simple. Put your hand on that person's ankle bone. If the two ankle bones don't line up, there's a problem. And hers were out by probably about that much. And I said to her, okay, cool, let's pray. And in simple terms, I didn't know the ancient Greek, I didn't do anything in Hebrew, I just said, in Jesus' name, leg grow. And she literally watched her leg grow out about 2 centimeters. Maybe less than 2 centimeters, I don't want to get caught up, it grew out. Just in case someone says, she would have known if it was 2 centimeters. It grew out. And I said to stand up, and she stood up, and she did 2 little hip turns like that, and I heard a crack, and suddenly, boom, in an instant, her pain left. This is the God's honest truth. These are things I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is able to do should we welcome him into our lives and give him the opportunity to actually do these things. And I want to say to you that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to testify, to do the things that Jesus did. It's not a Sean thing. It's not for the appointed and the anointed. If you stand at the back of the hall in worship, God can still use you. If you haven't been in church for 3 weeks because you've been busy working, God can still use you. And I want to read to you, this is a promise. This is a promise for you and me. Can you say that for me? This is a promise for me. One more time. Who's the promise for? No, it's for you. Right, Acts 1 verse 8, let's read it together. It says, but you, me, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Even in Gordon's Bay. Yes, true. Even in Gordon's Bay. This is a promise that if you today will allow the Holy Spirit to come and refill or infill you, the promise from the Word of God, not my promise, not my contract, not my contribution, the Word of God, it's in your Bible and in mine, it's on the board for you, but you will receive power to be witnesses. And what it talks about Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Why does he make a distinction? Because Judea is this. Judea is Gordon's Bay. It's this area. It's where we've been allotted. It's where our boundaries fall. But then there's Samaria, which is the neighboring towns. It's the area just outside of us, which means that you don't just have a Gordon's Bay anointing. You have an anointing. And you can take that anointing wherever you go. And then there is also Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Samaria is talking about other countries. So what Jesus is trying, or what's trying to be promised here is the fact that this is not an anointing that only comes when you walk through the door on a Sunday or into church on a Wednesday, into community on a Wednesday. And it's not local to this area. This power that comes from the Holy Spirit is for you wherever you go, whenever you go. He's very, very serious. Jesus is serious about us knowing this, because outside of this power, you're going to get tired. You're going to get weighed down. You see, the enemy's schemes are not new, but he's very good at what he does. And he knows exactly how to touch your life. in a way that steals faith, that steals energy, that steals grace. And he knows whatever he needs to do. And we need to constantly be getting infilled and refilled with the Holy Spirit in order to move forward from that place. I want to let you know that for many of you, you know me well. And for some of you, you meet him, CFN and your family, you meet him for the first time. So you have no reason to believe that what I'm telling you is the truth. But I want to say to you that it is the truth. And if you wanted to meet these people, they are real people, they do exist, and you could speak to them and they would corroborate my stories. I have no reason to lie to you. But I want to convince you today that if you will receive the Holy Spirit, if you will open your heart for it, you will receive that power. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm a simple guy. I'm not a very complicated person. I can understand complicated things, but when God speaks to me, he speaks very simply. He speaks to me like he would a child. And I love that. Because I'm called to be like a child, right? So I said, okay, Lord, give me an example that I can speak to everybody, including my 12-year-old daughter, Tatum, that she would understand, what do I mean by getting filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I even access the power of the Holy Spirit? So I want to say to you, in this place, especially on stage, there's a number of electric plug points. If you look around, you'll see some of them. The TVs are plugged into them. The speakers are plugged into them. And as you look at the plug points on the wall, can it hurt you by looking at it? My son's sitting with his knee just above one. He's not getting shocked. There's no power hitting him. He can look at it. You can admire it. You can like the color of it. But there is no power emanating from it, right? How many of us would like to volunteer to stick their finger into the plug? Do I have any takers? No? I won't allow you to do that. We'll have to pray for you for healing afterwards. But let me tell you, that plug, as innocent as it seems right there, as powerless as it seems right there, take your finger and stick it in. You're going to experience the power that that plug is emanating. The plug has none of the power of itself. It simply is a conductor of that electricity. It takes the power which comes from another source and it injects it into whatever appliance that you put in, TVs, speakers, whatever the case may be. You understand the concept that I'm talking about? You see, we have a little problem in South Africa. Can anyone tell us what that problem is? Very good. 10 points to all of you. It's called load shedding. So now that same plug that works exactly the same way, has all of the same attributes of a plug that's working, is suddenly not getting fed any power from the circuit, or from, I don't know, electrician guys will know the terms, through the grid. Yes, there's no power. It's not coming. It's not plugged in. And it's not working. And I felt for us, some of us in this place, there's two sets of people that I want to pray for this morning. And I want to remind you of the prophetic picture that was in the morning in the prayer meeting, of God coming to individuals. Every single one of you that's under the sound of my voice and putting his hand out and saying, come. And you can slap his hand away and stay as you are. You can. Or you can grab his hand and he's going to pick you up and he's going to pull you into something which could change nations. You see, my job as an elder is not to make you fat. It's not to feed you the word every single Sunday so that you can come here and have a good understanding of the Bible and of Scripture. My job as an elder is to pull you into the inheritance that God has for you. Every single one of you here have an inheritance. Mark did an incredible job last week of explaining that. But the fact is, I can't be with you when you're writing your tests. God set it up that way. You see, because he doesn't want you dependent on the church. He doesn't want you dependent on the elders, on the deacons, or on your community leaders. He wants you reliant and dependent on him. And that's why he says, where you go, I will go with you. I will send with you the Holy Spirit. So I ask you this morning, respond. Not to me, respond to the Holy Spirit. And I know that as the Bible says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you.